I ask you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. A great chapter in the Bible. It's a wonderful passage. Has all kinds of insights in it. You go back and read it from a revelatory position in the sense of being in Christ Jesus, looking back at what God is saying to those that are being led by Him daily. And all of a sudden, this new light shines on some of these passages. These are great passages this morning. We have a great God. Lord, thank you for who you are and what you're about. We thank you, Father, that you are indeed God. There is none beside you. There is no one like you. And you're a jealous God because of who you are and what you're about. It would be anything less than holy if you allowed others to stand in your place. So, Father, we pray, Father, that you be with us this morning. There are many things on our hearts and minds today. All kinds of things that come to our minds that we would like to have answers for. We'd like to have direction. And so, Father, let these scriptures speak to us this morning. Give us new light. Give us a surety of foundation to walk with you. And not grumble and not gripe, but to walk with you hand in hand, as we ought to do. And we recognize that intellectually we have that in our heart, our heads, but our hearts say, no, no, no. We need more. No, we don't. We need you, and you are sufficient. We ask you to bless this morning. Draw those to Jesus who need a special touch today. Maybe they're here right here this morning. Maybe they're someone in another place in the home, wherever they're at, Father. You can touch their lives. So we ask that you work in this hour with us and all those who are seeking your face today. Bless. Lord, if decisions need to be made openly, publicly, even today, we pray they'll be done so. To honor the Lord Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Sometime last week, Grayson was watching Destination Unknown, and he was talking to my wife about this, and it's some kind of a TV show. I don't know if you've seen it. It's some guy, and he goes places. Some of the things are interesting, and some are just silly, which is a TV show. But this particular one was on the Ark of the Covenant, and they were talking about Ethiopia and those kind of things. And so Grayson was watching that, and he was asking my wife about, you know, about this, that, and the other thing. And I got to thinking about that when they were sharing those things with me. You know, I think, Destination Unknown. We don't know. But actually, it's not. Our destination is known. It is a fait accompli. It's finished. It's settled for all time and eternity. The problem is we don't know all the intermediate steps as to getting to the place. And that's what I wanted to talk to us about a little bit this morning. This great chapter has many familiar and wonderful passages like verse 3 down there. In verse 2, it tells us that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring them to a land. He's going to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all other kinds of sites. He's going to drive those people out. And then verse 3 says what? Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Isn't that a beautiful picture? For I will not go up in thy midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. It's always been, like last week when we read that verse, the Lord is dedicating, Solomon's praying, you know, if my people. Well, the verse before, it describes why, if my people will humble themselves. If they will seek my face, and then they will pray, and then I will forgive their sin, then I will heal their, because we're human beings. We're a stiff-necked bunch. And God knows that. But he's going to work with us anyway. So he's telling the children of Israel, look, I've got a promised land for you. It's a beautiful place. But I cannot go with you as you want me to go with you. And we're going to find out why here in a minute. And so the Lord spake unto Moses, it says down there in verse 11, face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Isn't that something? Moses had this marvelous and special relationship with God Almighty, and God would say, hey, Moses, come over here, bud, and let's talk a little bit. I think in Jesus we can do that too. We can do that too. What a promise though. So Moses then says, okay, Lord, since I'm your friend, just do something for me. Down there in verse 18, he says, show me thy glory. Well, Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's asking. But God responded and said to him, no man shall see my face and what? Live. But then he says in verse 21, but, however, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon that rock. You're asking to see my glory. If you saw my glory, you'd be consumed. But there is a place that you can stand by me upon that rock. Do you know that there are approximately 17 different verses in the New Testament alone which talk about the rock or the stone which the builders rejected and all those kind of things? But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says it this way, and all drank of the spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock. And then you notice in, that your Bible will have the R capitalized there. That should tip you off that they're not talking about simply some kind of rock you kick down the road. It's the deity of God that followed them. And that rock, again, was capitalized, was Christ. So Moses says, show me your glory, Lord. And God says, well, listen, bud, if I show you my glory, you'll be consumed. But there is a place. I got a little spot for you right over here on this rock. I'm going to inform you that is Jesus. Okay? Down in verse 22 of chapter 33, it says this, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of that rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So Moses says, I want to see your glory. God says, you can't do that. You'll be consumed. But I do have a place for you on that rock, and that rock is Jesus. I'm going to put you in the cleft of that rock, and then I'll pass by. And, of course, there's an old song that says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood, connecting Jesus there, from thy wounded side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save me from wrath and make me pure. You see, God is holy, 100% holy. He cannot countenance sin. It would be burned up like dross in a furnace. And since we're sinners, we would be too. Now, I'm going to give you the point of this sermon right now. So you can kick your shoes off, put down your pen, relax the rest of the way, and when I say, Brother Jim, come and close this in prayer, then you'll realize, oh, time to wake back up. But here's the point. We're just like Moses. Well, over in 2 Corinthians again, Paul says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. What Paul has in mind here, the imagery that Paul has in mind here is something like this. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captive in Christ's triumphal procession in glory. We're part of his parade. We're part of that triumphant victory parade which Jesus, the risen Lord of glory, is leading. Now if you thought about that just for a second, that's enough. No, don't need to say another word. I'm cool with that. Okay, I got it. I'm going to be in the possession and procession of Jesus in glory. But we're like Moses. When God leads, we do not get to see his face, but his back. You see, if we saw his face, we would perish. We would be consumed by his glory and his holiness. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 3, it says, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked, that's stubborn. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, Earl. Stubborn. Nobody knows what that means, but my wife knows. The apple doesn't very fall from very far from the tree, Sarah. Nobody knows what that is, but my wife knows. But my son this week had another little take on that. You see, when we're doing something with Todd and we're doing whatever it is, I'm not in charge anymore, if I thought I ever was. Guess who's in charge? So we're going to put the right foot forward, put the first shoe on. Doesn't make any difference if the left foot's standing. Put the right one on first. Everybody knows, put the right one on first. We got to put... So I'm like Earl, and Earl says, I don't have to do it that way. I can do it this way. It doesn't make any difference. But Sarah says... So... We're stubborn. We're sinful. Oh, there's a thing called pride. Pride goeth forth the fall. And listen, I might be Earl, and there might be somebody in here that's similar to Sarah, but you are too. You're stubborn. You're prideful. You're sinful. And because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we will be consumed in His holiness, lest we stand on the rock. You see, they did not get to see God's face, lest they be consumed. But God says, I have a plan. I'm going to show you something. I will do stuff with it. I'm going to do better than that. We still, even in Christ Jesus, even on the rock, we don't get to see His face either. Now, His face has got something I wanted to tell you about here in a second. And you'll say, oh, yeah, I got it, finally. Remember the song, Veiled in God, Veiled in Flesh, the Godhead See, remember? Hail the Incarnate Deity. Veiled in flesh, the rock we see. But we don't get to see God the Father's face. And here's the hard point. This is the deciding factor. We don't get to know what God's specific, intricate, and they are specific, and they are intricate, detailed plan beforehand. We don't get to know that. We don't get to know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He could tell us, but He chooses not to do so. We don't get to know what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next day, we don't get to know the future, period. And you just think about it for just a second. If we got to know what was going to happen tomorrow, there would be some of us who would rush to the stock market and look at those things. Ah, that one's going to go up through the roof, and we'd buy that today. And tomorrow, we'd be, boom, we'd be rich. Or, maybe... If we knew what was going to happen tomorrow when we go to Kroger's, if we knew that when we get out of the car, some little guy or some little lady is going to back over us and crush us, guess what we would do? We would not go to Kroger's tomorrow. We wouldn't do that. But guess what also? If we knew what was going to happen tomorrow, we would be foolish and do the worldly thing and buy stocks, which that would be the least of the things you should do if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow. If we did know tomorrow that would in the parking lot, those things are insignificant as to what God has for us. You know, somebody said sometime back when Mr. Obama was president, and they did some kind of a shovel ready job thing. I forget what they call that now. They could have gave everybody in the United States $1 million. Did you know that? I'm still for that. But, you know, if we were all millionaires, then what would you have to be to be? You'd have to be a billionaire, wouldn't you? So listen, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it's good that we don't, because we'd make all the wrong moves to begin with. But we do get to see God's back as He leads us. And as we grow in Christ Jesus, growing from a child to adolescent to an adult, and reflecting on the way, his way, and he never changes those ways, we can know what he will do because of our relationship to him. And that relationship reminds us that he always has the best in mind for us. And how he works that out. So we're just like Moses in that way. Over there in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12, it says this. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. You gave me command to take these people up. I've done it. Now I just want a simple thing. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Well, as a friend, God talks to Moses. He knows Moses' name. Now, therefore, I pray thee. Here's Moses. We're just like Moses. Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Isn't that amazing? Do you actually, you see what Moses is asking God? He's doing the butter up thing. Oh Lord, I found, you know my name. I found grace in your sight. Oh, that's marvelous. Now just tell me everything that I need to know about how we're going to do this. Let me be you for a while. Doesn't it? It's remarkable. And the audacity for Moses to say that, because didn't Moses see and understand God's call for him in a burning bush that didn't burn? What do you call that? Didn't Moses go back to Egypt and God says, take your staff and throw this down before Pharaoh and it's going to turn it into a snake? What was that? I thought about bringing a stick and throwing it down this morning. Just throwing it down, throwing it down, throwing it down. You would not have to worry about it being turned into a snake. Moses saw God take certain tree branches and throw them in this horrible, putrid, polluted water, and he made it pure. Moses saw that God led them by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Moses sent to them cotton candy out in the wilderness, manna from heaven, gave them quail. What does God have to do for Moses to say, I think, Lord, I'll trust you for tomorrow? But we're just like him. Lord, what's happening tomorrow? I've got the thing about the fire and the snake and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what you did yesterday. What are you going to do tomorrow? I need to know these things. So Moses had the audacity to say, let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Now, you could have said to yourself, well, Joshua is going to be the guy. He's going to be helping Moses and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what really Moses is asking. Moses is saying, Lord, I want to know what you know. I'll be satisfied if I'm God too. That's what we're saying. In our heart of hearts, in our spirit, we would say, never can I say such a thing. But that's what we want. If we want to know the infinite details of tomorrow, who do we have to be? God. But there's only one. You see, we're a people who are stiff-necked. And we're just like Moses. And we long to be guided along. We're like the wanderers in the desert crying out to God, show me the way, O Lord. Give me a sign, O Lord. Just write it in the sky. Turn left on such and such exit. We were talking about exit this morning. On off of 75 and I'll be fine. Let me see those things in advance, and I'm cool with that. Listen, God does not write notes in the sky. There was a young man who, I understand, went to Southern Seminary, and he came there and he wasn't doing very good in school. And so one of the counselors asked him, Wilbur, why are you here? And he said, I was out plowing in the field, and I saw this great big GP in the sky. Unmistakable letters. It was telling me, go preach. And the counselor said, Wilbur, maybe it was go plow. We want God to send us a fax or an email. He better not send those things to me, because Brother Ron knows I don't answer half the time. So person to person calls are what I need. But God is willing to do something better than that. He said, what could be better than that? Well, last year, I went up to near Auburn, a little bit north of Auburn, with some of the boys. I think there was about 7 or 8 of us or something, maybe 11 altogether, I'm not sure. To the corn maze. There was a corn maze up there. And we went up there, and they had all kinds of interesting things. They had little things you could throw and bounce on and do all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, there was the corn maze. And it turned out to be a beautiful day. It had been raining all week long, but it had dried up a little bit. It was a beautiful day. And they had this corn maze. And they had this corn maze here, and then they had a little corn maze over here. And it says, this is for children under 5. That's the one I should have went to. But the boys I was with, boom, they took off to the right side, and bingo, they were gone. And so Grayson and I are walking down through there. I think we found Caleb somewhere along the line, and those kind of things. And actually in the corn maze, they had little signs that gave you hints to where you were at and what you should do. And at first I didn't pay any attention to those things, because I know where I'm going. I could actually, at the furthest point of the corn maze, I could look back and I could see the really big tree that we entered the corn maze from. So I just need to go back there, right? Well, they didn't make little paths like that. So they had all these little signs to help you that gave you hints as to which way to turn and all those kind of things. And then we bumped into somebody else, and those people were saying, this sign over here, you go over there, and those kind of things. And so I said, okay, fine. So we went over there, and we got over there. I don't know where we're at. I guess I didn't know what the sign said before that sign. So I didn't know what that sign meant. So we walked a little bit away, and Grayson started to say, Papa, can we get out of here? I'm getting hot. I'm thirsty. Caleb is a little bit, we can do this. Let me read the sign. So he's starting to figure out the signs. But see, we didn't read all the signs. And so finally, we bumped into another couple. A man, a woman, and a child. And they had this strange person with them. You know who the strange person with them was? One of the kids that work at the corn maze, who goes out to people who get lost and brings them back in. So we joined that happy band, and pretty soon we got to the tree. Pretty soon we got out of there, and I was going like this. Whew. There was a picnic table over there. I went over there and sat under that tree. The boys were talking about they were thirsty and hungry and all that. I said, I have $20 here. Go buy you something. Don't bother me anymore. I don't want to walk any further. I'm done. We want, you see, for the signs to be there. We want to see all these kind of things, these clues, and all those kind of things, because we think that we can figure it out. And maybe there might have been somebody that day that did it, I don't know. But we didn't. But you know what we needed? Well, let me put it this way. You know what I needed? I needed that guy from the corn maze to come get me and say to me, take that little boy's hand right there who's almost crying. The other boy, come along with these other people. I'll take you back. We didn't need signs. We didn't need clues. We needed somebody who knew what the maze was all about, to come and literally guide us out of there. You know what God wants to do in our lives? He wants to take our hand and say, walk with me. But we want signs. We want clues. All those kind of things. When we were up in New York City with the youth group several years ago, we went to New Jersey first, and of course we went over to New York because the church there in New Jersey said, you know, go to Ground Zero and all that kind of stuff. And they were very nice. We went to the Statue of Liberty. There was one of our guys from Huntington who said he lived in New York. I forgot that New York was a state as well. So he may have lived in New York, but not in the city. So we go across the river on some kind of the Hudson River in some kind of boat or taxi or something like that. We get on the other side, we're walking up the sidewalk, and he's taking just wait a second, we'll figure this out. And so, I'm standing there, and these two guys, there was some kind of coffee shop, and they were standing up drinking coffee, and the guy says, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, we're from Indiana." He said, "Oh." He said, "Indy 500. I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's all I know about." He said, "Why are you here?" I said, "We came to a church in New Jersey to have VBS with them and share with them some scripture and how to receive Christ and all that kind." He said, "Those guys in New Jersey definitely need that." Okay. So he walked over to our guide and says, "You go down here." Sounded fairly simple to me. So where we took off, we went down here to dit. And pretty soon we're standing over there at a group again, going like this. We were supposed to catch a subway. I think there was a subway right under our feet. I guess if we'd had a jackhammer, And a man and his child comes along, and here we are, clogging up the sidewalk, and he too says something. "You guys looking for something?" "Yeah, we were looking for Ground Zeroes." "And we're supposed to get on Subway such and so and so." "Yeah, that's right. Yeah." He said, "The subway's just down here a little ways." And he said, hey, "Follow me." So we went to the subway. He took us there. Without any misturns, without anything at all, we went down in the subway. He said, "Stand right here on this platform. There will be other cars that come by, but the one that comes by that says car 62 or whatever it was, get on that. Don't mess around. Get in the car. And when you get in the car, they'll call out stops as you come along. Get off on so and so and such and so." And he said, "You walk up the stairs and you're right there." Okay, hey, all right. So we did that. We got in the subway. And I suppose maybe we're probably 30, 40 kids or something like that, young people. And I don't ever recall them saying anything. They might have been going, that might have been something that I couldn't decipher it. Well, make a long story, if it gets longer, short. We didn't get off in the right place, and we walked up. Here we are again. So we're standing there in the middle of the sidewalk, about 50 people. People going around us, and another guy comes on. Walking down the street, and he says, "Guys looking for something?" "Yeah, we're looking for Ground Zero." He says, "You're not too far away." "Oh, hey, we didn't do too badly." He said, "We're just a few blocks away." He said, "I'll tell you what, come with me." And as we walked down to Ground Zero, he said, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "Well, we're trying to see Ground Zero." He says, "Hey, when you walk over that silly thing, the construction site and all that," he can't hardly see anything, little hole in the fence and thing. He said, "Go in the Burger King, third floor. It's all glass on that side, and you can see Ground Zero perfectly." So he takes us to Burger King. I think he probably thought, because I'm thinking to myself, three floors, Burger King? I ain't never seen anything like that in my life. So he says, "Come on through, go this way." He takes us up a flight of stairs. This second floor was something or another. Every floor was some kind of a, what we call it, dedicated to something. You know, Boogaloo Station or something like that. The next one was Africa Adventure or something. I don't know what. Some kind of thing like that. We get to the third floor. He says, look here, look here. Come right over here. Look down. Oh, man. Perfect. Perfect. He says, well, there's ground zero. He says, if you get hungry, you could even eat here. And he left. You know what we needed? You know what we needed, don't you? We needed somebody to take us by our hand and walk us over to the spot. And we actually had two people who literally did that. One person who actually probably gave good directions. You see, we want guidance. We want all that stuff. But even if we get that stuff, we sometimes still end up in the wrong spot. We weren't very far from ground zero when we got off in the subway at the wrong spot. I did think about this. Okay, we found ground zero. How are we going to get back? Yeah. But what's better than a sign or a map or anything like that is for somebody to personally guide you. Signs can be misread, misunderstood, but a guide who's trusted. You see, now we didn't know that guy at all. We didn't know him at all. Well, we found out he was trustworthy because he took us there. Found the place, no problem. Listen, the Lord God Almighty in the rock, that place he's got for you to stand, is trustworthy. Go over there. Stand in that place. Take his hand. Let him lead. He doesn't need your input. I think this sign says turn left. He doesn't need that. We have a tendency to want to do that. And follow him. God was Moses' God. He spoke to him as a friend speaks to a friend. And he's our God. And in Christ Jesus, we have that same self kind of relationship, if not even better. I read a story about Gladys Allworth, who, her and her sister, were fleeing from the communist takeover in China. You know, it's an interesting thing that seems like when we start talking about that kind of stuff on television, we forget that they killed about 11 million people. Mr. Mao in his little red book, I don't think you want to meet him or any of his associates. And so they were fleeing and they got in a group of people. And so it was nothing but hardship and terror and fear. And this little 13-year-old girl reminded Gladys about Moses in the wilderness. Now, this is me. Maybe not you, but this is me. Gladys snapped and said, well, my dear, I'm not Moses. Is that what we do? But the little girl said, but Moses' God is our God. And they got out. See, there's no substitute for our trusting the Lord God Almighty in the person, the second person of the Trinity, the Word who became flesh, the place of safety that we can stand in and not be consumed and have our sins forgiven. And he will guide us all the way. Not just simply with directions, but if we'll take his hand, he'll lead us there. But you've done that, haven't you? Haven't you reached out to one of your children or your grandchildren and put your hand out and they went like this? I got it. I can see the place. But when we grow in the Lord a little bit, we walk with him and we begin to experience the things that he does with us and for us in our lives, he actually wants us to recall those things. Remember when you were here and we went together and this happened? Remember? Oh, yeah, Lord. Well, I'm not Moses. Praise God, you're not Moses. But God is God. the more we get to know him, the more we walk with him, the more confidence we have, the more reality of realities is real in that God is God and can do the things he promises to do. Notice there in verse 14 in Exodus 30, it talks about Moses getting the rest. This is not someplace along the way to, you know, find a bench and sit down. This is not a cessation of activity. It is exactly what I'm going to talk about. It's a calm assurance. Listen, I will go with you and I'll give you rest. I'll give you the calm assurance that whatever comes as we go along, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you keep holding my hand, we'll make it through. Stop calculating. Oh gosh. Easy for me to say. 5 minutes from now, I'll have to be reminded of it myself. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. That small child that takes that mom's hand or his father's hand or the grandfather's hand, they've stopped wrestling. Exodus 33:17 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing because thou hast found grace in my sight, and I do know thy name. Someone calls me on my phone. I do have one and carry it with me most of the time. Sometimes it's on the charger right now at home because it was only down to 14%. You got to have a charge, right? So I got it there. But if you call me on my phone, don't leave me a text message. What's that other stuff? Don't leave me a voicemail. If I don't answer, call me back again. Because I know what that means. Ring, bing, bing. I know what that means. That means somehow or another to figure out to take that little line and squish it to the side. And a little light will come up and your number will come up and someone will be talking to me. So do that. And guess what? When you call me, and maybe your name comes up on my little thing, showing me your little number and it's all changed recently. I got an update. So now instead of just a number, I get a little green circle with a number in it. Isn't that cool? Who thought I needed that? Joshua, you know anything about that? I don't know, man. But listen, the funny thing happens is when I understand who's calling me, my disposition changes. Did you know that? When Pastor Kim calls me, I think to myself, oh, Pastor Kim, got to be dignified, got to be talking to him. That way, yeah. When Dennis calls me, I say, hey, brother, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. When somebody calls me that I don't know who it is, you know how I answer the phone? Hello? Hello? No. Mm-mm. No. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't know who that person is. Sometimes they tell me, you know, I want to cruise through Hawaii, Chris, you know, and all expense paid and all that kind of things. And before they can go too far, I say, send it on and hang up on them. When I know your name, my whole disposition changes. God knows your name. He'll take your call. He'll talk to you like a friend talks to a friend. The whole conversation and the whole tenor of that conversation changes because you're his child on the rock calling him. I'll take the call. I'll take the call. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You know what that is? That's autonomy. God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You don't deserve it, but I'll be gracious to you if I want to be gracious, and I do want to be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. It's up to me. Call me. I know your name, and I will show you grace, and I will show you mercy, and I'll lead you all the way. I don't know. I like that. You just got to get from here to here and back up here again. And it's a daily struggle, isn't it? But that's the way God works. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He doesn't leave you signs and notes and all that stuff. Take his hand. Father, what a remarkable principle that is found in your word throughout. It's predicated upon sin, of course, that we need that sin forgiven. And in Christ Jesus, who is the rock, we can have our sins forgiven. We can come into the very presence of holy God. And because he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he says, I'll have mercy on those who stand on the rock. I will show grace to them. God, who cannot lie, says that to us. Father, help us to walk with you day by day. Oh, sometimes we think, Lord, I don't need you today. I'm cool. I'm just doing a few things. I can get by. But in actuality, every minute, every second of the day, you'll lead us if we will let you. And we won't have any regrets in the end. Because this destination is not unknown to you. It is known perfectly. Because you're the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. You knew from the beginning the end. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to grow. Be strong in you. Father, even now, speak to our hearts. Give us encouragement where we need that encouragement. We probably all need encouragement. Do that, Lord. For these things we ask in Jesus' mighty name, the rock. Amen and amen.